Evangelism 2020, Inviting Loved Ones and Friends to Church, Matthew 28:18-20, Acts 1:8, and 1 John 3:18. There is a sense of lethargy, slackness, and even slothfulness in churches today. The first commandment of Christ to the church to fulfill the Great Commission seemed to be neglected. It has become the greatest omission. The church has become a social club. You come in order to make friends. Not that it's no good, but if we would take time only to make the church a place of for social gathering, whereby our conversation is not on the things of God, the purpose of God, but in our own entertainment, in our own enjoyment, in our own, in a sense, agendas, then you'd find that the church has sidestepped its purpose. And how important it is that the people of God must be reminded that the main reason or the first objective in the founding of the church, of this church, the objective is to save souls. That's the first objective. The passion for souls, the injunction to reach out to a dying world, seem to be a lost mission of the church. Why is it like that? Well, may I say that the Lord has a purpose for his people, and the people of God must be awakened. And how do you awaken the people? Well, there's not much that you and I can do, except that the Spirit of God must work in the hearts and in the lives of the people of God. God must move the people. And so we, through the teaching and preaching of God's word, seek to impress upon the hearts that there may be an awareness, and the awareness of the knowledge of God's will would bring conviction to the hearts of God's people, so that they will not neglect so great a salvation that God has given us, that our coming to God has, and our life with God loses its usefulness. Jesus described salt that has lost its savor. In other words, salt that is no longer salty. Right? Salt is a very good preserver, and God, salt is also a very good influencer. Well, the Lord, it says that we are to be the light and salt of the world. We are to be an influence, and the Lord wants us to be that influence. And let us realize that personal witnessing is not an option, but a sacred duty. That's why the Lord says to his church, "Go ye therefore." Go ye therefore. It is not an option, but a sacred duty. It is a privilege, because Christians are the only people with the true message of hope. Right? We are the only people who has the solution to man's biggest problem, eternal life or eternal death. We have the only solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only message of salvation, only Jesus saves. You are an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a tremendous privilege that He has bestowed upon you. And He wants you to know it, and He wants you to do it. Right? My John says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." If you believe that this is what God has commanded us to do, then let's do it. Right? If God says it and we don't do it, wow, that's not good. But when God says it, then, you know, as a filial child of God, knowing that it would bring honor and glory to His name, then we would be so happy to be involved, to be so happy to do the work. It is a work that brings eternal reward for the Christian. Christians will all stand before Christ one day at the Bema seat to give an account of our stewardship. We all will stand before God. And you know, as I think about life, right, I realize that how short life is and how time flies so quickly away. And we miss and lose it. It's not going to come back to us anymore. You lose your reward. You lose your privilege to serve. Christians will all stand before Christ one day to give an account of stewardship. How will you fare in that day of reward? Are you prepared? Ready for this mandate that your master has given you? Are you prepared? Well, today we are going through all these lessons, all these exhortations in order to prepare us. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We are to prepare so that we are ready with holiness of life to give an answer for the hope that is in us. We are to prepare our lives so that it may be a vessel fit for the Master's use to declare His worth. And so the Lord is speaking to His people and conveying to us, right, today in our pastoral, is given to us the parable of the great supper. And it is written in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, or chapter 14 and verse 17. How the master said to his servants that it's supper time, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." What do you mean by that? Well, the work of redemption is finished, completed. Christ has completed all of it 2,000 years ago. And all who will receive it, right, will have this reward. And he says, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." Right? You hear excuse. Why excuse? Well, because these things weigh in the mind. You see, of this. And another said, "I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Cowards. I don't want to go. I don't want to do the work. I have better things to do. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Right? Those who are well, they just don't want because they feel that this living this life upon earth is so good. Right? We are going to last and live forever. Well, that's a great illusion. And the Lord wants us to know. And if we have to build a congregation of God's people, then you would make sure that you have those who are really fired up for the Lord. Why? Because that's the purpose of fulfilling the will of God, the law of God, right? The mind of God. And you don't want to retard the work of God. It's serious. Right? The church cannot become a social club. And if it's fast becoming a social club, then it has to be reversed. And how can we do that? Through the preaching of God's word. To remind us, this is the commission that God has given us. Right? So, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as that has thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. In other words, there's still some more room for the feast. Why are there not people coming? And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's the master's call. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You'd lose the reward. How sad it is. Right? And while God gives us time, right, we take for granted. Right? And we not only take for granted, but we sneer, right, and we jeer. Wow, that was what our Lord Jesus Christ received. Don't want. Well, let us realize, as we said here, that personal witnessing is not an option, but a sacred duty. It is a privilege because Christians are the only people with the true message of hope. And so, the Lord is saying to us, that we are to do this work. And how can we do this work? The work of evangelism begins with prayer. Right? The Lord wants us to pray that we may be prepared. Pray that we would be protected. Pray that God would give us the strength to go. Why is it so important? Well, because this is the reason why God established His church, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you to observe. What does it mean to observe? Observe doesn't mean to just see, you know. No, to observe means to do in deed and in truth. We pray that the Lord would strengthen His people. And you know, we have showed and given you the new tracts that we have printed. And last week we showed you how to use it. Right? And now we would say, we would share with you how to go, how to prepare yourself. First, to pray. And second, right, to pray that the Lord would enable you to become his, to be his witness. And that you may not be, that you will not be ashamed of the gospel. In other words, we can become very timid, you know, and no courage. And you need to pray that God give you courage. Courage to be able to do this work. And I can tell you that, you know, God really has to give courage. This personal experience. God don't give the courage. Wow, how to do that? Right? You're going to stand there and you're going to talk to someone or pass something to someone. And, you know, you can be rejected. You can face persecution. Well, the Lord says to us that we are not to be ashamed. Why? Because if we understand the worth of the gospel, the value of it, how it has impacted us to help us, then we must act. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You have understood the true worth and value of the gospel. Why should we not want to declare it? Unless we have no understanding at all. Which is sad, right? How can the people of God have no understanding of the true worth of the gospel? Right? We say in our colloquial language, say up, say down, no reason. Right? You cannot think of a good excuse. No reason. No reason. But the Lord would want us to think and reflect upon our spiritual life. Oftentimes, our spiritual life needs some spiritual filling to be attuned to the voice of God rather than the voice of the world. Sometimes God has to bring chastisement in order to wake up his own children. Why like that? Well, because we just simply won't move. Won't move. A divided heart is often the cause of the lethargy. There may be certain idols in our lives that takes our attention. And sometimes, and it manifests itself, right, in a defiant attitude. It manifests itself. Don't want. Right? A divided heart is often the cause of this. And there are certain idols in our lives that takes our attention. We need to search our hearts and understand where we have fallen and come back to. None of us is spared. All of us must search our hearts. And we must do this, right, regularly so that, you know, our hearts will always be warm and not cold. If we have seen the glory of God, then we must be like Peter and John, right? What did Peter and John testify? They say, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Right? You have seen the glory of God. You have seen the power of God. You see the preciousness of the gospel. How it is able to save a soul, a man which is indulging in sin. That bondage is broken. You see, that is real power. And here we are speaking about true to life power. You see, unless our coming to church, you know, is just, right, a mere show. Right? Mark our attendance, and then we go, and we do our own things. Then you find that at the end, we would truly be shortchanged in our own lives. Right? It's like you have found a cure for cancer. Can you withhold it from those who are dying from cancer? Right? Sin is the greatest disease, more heinous than cancer. And it invokes the wrath of God and eternal damnation in hell. Do you realize that? Sin. And therefore the Lord wants us to begin. Begin in your Jerusalem, the people closest to you. Start there, but do not stop there. You begin there, and if you are rejected, go on. Widen it to your sphere of influence, the people around you. Right, we have a tracking team whereby we have those who go out to share. Why can't we be engaged to do something? Why are we not moved in our hearts? Well, you would find that it takes some effort. The third point, taking the trouble or making the effort. If we don't begin, we'll never begin. Right? And you'll find that, you know, how many years of life do you have left? You ask yourself. How many years of life do you have left? Do you want to waste it? We don't want to waste it, right? We know that, you know, there will come a time when we have time no more. Even if you want to do, you can't. But while you can, don't waste it. Well, the suggestion here is really quite simple. If we be willing to spare time and effort out of our schedule to make a difference to someone by inviting someone to church, whether she is a friend or a loved one, right? When you pray, you have someone in mind, someone you love, someone you know, then you need to make that effort. Of course, how oftentimes we find it difficult to do that, right? But the Lord tells us through the words of the Apostle Paul, we must not be ashamed of the gospel. We must not be afraid. And so, if we would take time, make priority, and willing to sacrifice some inconvenience of time, effort, and resource to facilitate this effort that can reap an eternal reward. Do you know that? This is the greatest enterprise in this world, you know. The greatest investment in this world. In souls, in the salvation of souls, the greatest investment, and it will bring in the best reward, the eternal reward, right? And so if we are squaring our mathematics and we are truly understanding divine mathematics, right, God's way of working, which is the only way that, you know, will ultimately be for all of us, right? God will be the ultimate judge, and He already tell us how He will judge. And so here it says, take the time, take the trouble. It involves making priority and willing to sacrifice some inconvenience of time. We cannot see today what great impact we are going to make in the life of that person which we are inviting to church. You know, when Andrew first met the Lord, Andrew was saved first, you know. But who did he invite to church, you know? He called his brother Peter. And Peter was used greatly by God, right?
Yeah.
And what was Andrew's contribution? Why you hear, you read the gospel, you don't hear much about Andrew, right? Andrew is always with, is among one of the 12 apostles, but not much heard. Right? You heard a lot about Peter. But who brought Peter? It was Andrew. He said, hey, this is my brother, Cephas, Simon. This is the one that I love so much. And this is the Lord, you know. Let me bring him. Ah. Andrew brought Peter. And what a difference it made to the whole world, right? You never know, right? The person that you would nurture, that you would take a little effort to help, how it will turn out for the person. So Paul says to Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we have to take a little time to think and plan and do the needful. Right? So very practical stuff today we are talking about. Right? To think and plan and do the needful. So the transport ministry is one aspect that required thinking on our part, right, to facilitate those who are coming. Right, we are on this transport ministry, right, whereby we try to facilitate someone to come to church. Ah, would someone think along this line? How do you facilitate, right, those who want to come? How do you bring them? Right? Somebody must go and bring them. Who will go and bring them? Ah. So if we know, then you know, we said, yeah, let me be the one. Right? Let me receive the reward. Let me put in the effort. Let me organize it. So we have to take a little time to think and plan and do the needful. An ongoing ministry, that's the fourth thought. We said we are to pray, not ashamed of the gospel, take the trouble and make the effort. And we said an ongoing ministry. Once a person agrees to come to church, this begins the process of discipleship that lasts a lifetime. We said lasts all eternity. Right, when you begin to bring someone, right, you will see him or her not only in this life, but in eternity to come. So it takes some perseverance on our part, right, to keep on the good work. Right? The first step is in sharing the gospel to help the person come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to help the person in worship, right, to learn the blessing, the spiritual blessing and discipline of worship. Of course, we do our part and let the Lord do the rest. We don't know what will be the outcome. You do your part and let the Lord determine the outcome. Right? The outcome is not, it's not up to us, but we do our part. And that is what the Lord requires of us. And so, may the Lord grant us the grace. Right? The person is invited to come, not only for worship, for prayer meeting, to develop the person's spiritual life, right? To be involved in a Bible study, in a weekly Bible study, with consistency, the person is invited to attend the basic Bible knowledge class so that the person can prepare for baptism. And then we have what we have here, the adult Sunday school class, to grow in faith, right? Sunday school class for all ages, from the young ones to the old ones, right? So that a person may be filled with the Spirit and begin to disciple others, to begin to invite others. Right? And so we said it's an taking time, making the effort, how it is an ongoing ministry. Right? So how many people are you following up with? Are you actively helping to come to church, to be happy in church, okay, to help them, to encourage them? Are we doing that? Are we doing that? Are we influencing someone else? Well, I believe in one way or another, we are doing something. Right? Well, my encouragement is that let us persevere. Right? We do something, we did something, someone has come, then we continue to help that person. And look at your circle of friends and loved ones. Make a friend. Right? General invitations can be given out, but focus on those who showed interest. Right, there are those who said, oh yeah, I talked to the person, the guy not interested. The person not interested. Then, if the person is not interested, then move on. Right? God has to prepare the hearts of the person. Then you need to pray, and you need to be sensitive of the leading of the Spirit. Right? Find opportunities to share with them your testimony. Right? We all have a testimony to share. Right? How God touched your life. Be a friend to them. And the Lord is saying to us, right, that you may, by the grace of God, make a friend. Right? If you have a friend is someone who knows you well, and trust you, and you have that influence over the life of the person to say, do this, come to church, this is good for you. Will they obey? Of course they will obey. They will follow you. Why? Because they know that you love them and this is for your good, the person's good. So are you taking time actively investing in souls, people that you know, or people that you know have some potential to be one for the Lord? The Lord wants you to take time to help this, right? So that you see, we don't know who are the elect. Who are those whom God has chosen to be His children. And therefore, our duty is to go out and scatter the seed so that all who are willing, whom God has made willing, will come in. And this work involves us, you know, casting the net far and wide also, right? So we give to the estate around us. How many blocks have we managed to accomplish? Well, we need men and women who are fired up with strength, right? With a desire, so that they may go, that you may go. So I encourage you to invite loved ones and friends to church and to be involved in the work of reaching out to the people around us. And well, I close with two questions. How can we be filled with the Spirit to fulfill God's will for your thinking? Eh? What are the practical suggestions to facilitate the coming of friends and loved ones? How can we be filled with the Spirit to fulfill God's will? Right? How can we have that desire to do? Well, one of this is that God would refocus our life, take away the idols, the things that is causing us to be very cold. Right? What are the practical suggestions to facilitate the coming of friends and loved ones? Well, God will grant the wisdom, you know. If you desire to help and you are praying, wow, I'm sure the Spirit of God will give you the wisdom what to do, how to help, and what will be the reward. Wow, great reward. Right? Great reward. And, you know, our people here, like those of you here, you can see that each one is doing their part to bring some loved ones, right? Our dear brother here, family, right? Closest, how the family come, right? How they were baptized. Just not so long ago, take many years of effort, many years of patient effort. But there's a time of reaping, right? How happy it is. Did we go through obstacles? Great obstacles, right? Were we scolded? Well, we were scolded. Were we threatened? We were threatened. But was God's hand too short? No. God's hand was not too short. But every obstacle was overcome. We dare not say anything. But we only know that it is the Lord's will to be fulfilled. And He will have the pleasure to fulfill His own will. And we are just an instrument, a means, a human means by which God uses so that we can see the glory of God. It's not for Him, you know. It's for us. He wants us to experience His goodness, you see. Ah, so I say this because we are not, you are not without fruit. You are not without fruit, right? We are all the result of someone's effort, right? We have another example, right? How a loved one can be brought, is brought to worship and to be baptized, right? How many years? 3 years ago? 4 years ago? Right. Yeah. God brought and now studying to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord that we can be partakers of His glory, and we just praise Him, right? Praise Him for what He can do. So may we be strengthened, right? That we be that the ones that God will move in order to jumpstart and be the catalyst to a greater number of the people of God to fulfill His good will. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in teaching us Thy word. Duty to fulfill Thy commission. O God, help us to know what a sacred duty Thou hast entrusted to us. And help us, Lord, to indeed go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and to bring in those and, Lord, bring us to the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. Help us, Lord. May this house be filled. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.